This is WUWM at Night, and we are here with Christopher Porterfield, lead singer and mastermind behind Field Report. His band is releasing their sophomore album, Marigolden, on Partisan Records this fall. The record, which, if I understand correctly, was recorded in the midst of a Ontario blizzard?
Yeah, we were up in Canada last December for a few weeks. And, we were on this ranch several hours north of Toronto, kind of in the middle of nowhere. And it was right on the edge of this Canadian forest preserve, and the snow would blow through the river valley as we tracked our, you know, deepest selves.
Are you a musician that experiences peak creativity in winter months?
There might be a thing to that. I don't know if I've tracked the patterns in relation to weather, but I mean, when it's happening, you can feel it, and you just drop everything and do it whenever it happens.
Is winter seclusion a good backdrop for making an album, you think?
I think so. You're less inclined to have your attention drawn elsewhere. And it's nice, too, just being away from wherever you're normally comfortable. Where we were, we would get up and track, and it was a sober session. It was a vegan session, and we all, like, had great skin and lost weight by the end of it. And we, at the end of the sessions, we would all hop in the sauna. And if we weren't tracking at that moment, you know, we'd go on a hike through the escarpment or whatever they call it.
The album title is reflective of that process and your surroundings, being Marigold, a flower that has a reputation of being able to endure winter months, correct?
Well, yeah, but up here, a lot of times they're supposed to be these super hardy things that can be perennials and survive. But up here, they end up still dying, and you still got to dig them up. And if you want them, you got to replant them again. So you go to Stein's or whatever, and you know, the springtime they got all these marigolds. That's not because there's new people planting marigolds every year. It's the same people having to replant them. That's kind of a theme on the record, sort of a period of transition and then reinvention and starting over.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to do a song?
Sure. Let's do Home. That's the first single. Cold snapped like a coiled spring. You can feel the frost coming on. We are marigolding, dropping orange and umber. Just barely holding on. Just barely holding on. And now downtown's dialed up with tinsel and angels. Season sneaking up like haircuts, teased apart and tangled. We were fraying for a while, but we took it all down like garland falling off traffic signals. Leave the lights on, 'cause it might be nighttime when I get there, but I'm on my way home. Leave the lights on, 'cause it might be nighttime when I get there, but I am on my way home. Putting on old clothes in a new way, putting on the pose of a new stage, and waking up every day just a little bit changed while it breaks over us like waves. Long live beauty and short live pain. Lust for wonder and hunger pangs. You gotta face your fear, but not your shame. It doesn't end, it just wears away. Leave the lights on, 'cause it might be nighttime when I get there, but I'm on my way home. Leave the lights on, 'cause it might be nighttime when I get there, but I am on my way home. Now I've been clawing away at what's underneath, closer than solid ground beneath your feet.
Closer even now than lips and teeth. Closer now than out of reach. And the body remembers what the mind forgets. It archives every heartbreak, every cigarette. These reset bones, they might not hold, but they might, yeah. So leave the lights on, 'cause it might be nighttime when I get there, but I'm on my way home. Leave the lights on, 'cause it might be nighttime when I get there, but I'm on my way home. I'm on my way home. I'm on my way.
Home, Leave the Lights On by, would it be 1/5 of Field Report or 1/4?
That number's changing. Third, 1/1, I don't know.
It's an ever evolving cast folks.
It's a continuing revelation.
Yes. I was recently reading an article by rock critic Stephen Hayden, and he made a point about many musicians who will put out their first successful record become disillusioned during the support tour and then pour those feelings into their next album. And I'm curious, do you think your album adheres to that sort of trend?
That's really interesting. I think there's definitely some road life that seeped into the songs for sure. Yeah, and I don't know if, well, disillusionment. I don't know if I completely buy that word, but there's definitely revelations once you're touring on your first record of how that world works that you didn't know going into it, for mm-hmm. sure. You learn to navigate those new systems and temper expectations and just dig in and work harder. I think some of those revelations filter into the second record for sure. Because mm-hmm. there's the common thing where you get a lifetime to make your first record, but you get a year or two to make your second. And if you spend the better part of that year or two on the road while you're on the hook to make that second thing, yeah, I can't help but seep in there.
In your past record, you have the song "I'm Not Waiting Anymore." Is that self-reflective in a way of?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I don't think if I would have been in a position to have some of the opportunities that I've had in the last several years any earlier than I had them come, I don't think I would have been ready for it or would have had anything to say in response to that or to even get to that point. I didn't start writing until probably maybe 8 years ago. I'd played music before, but I hadn't started writing. And it took me a while to find my legs and to find my voice.
What was your role in other bands you were in?
I was a guitar player. I played pedal steel. Just kind of a support guy, an auxiliary guy.
Yeah, I know you've been playing more pedal steel. What is your relationship with that instrument?
Oh, it's my favorite instrument in the world. I think it's the most gorgeous sound. I think it's the closest thing to angels that we have on this brutish earth. I hadn't played for a long time because it's one of those things where you can't really be a songwriter and play the steel. Like the steel is just a better support instrument in that particular form.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had one forever. I've had a pedal steel player in my band, and there's steel all over the record, but that wasn't me playing it. But I've picked one up again recently, and I sat in with the band Buffalo Gospel, which is a great country band from Milwaukee, and that was a ton of fun playing with them. And I'm doing some steel and some recording stuff. And it's great because I can just do it from home. You know, people email me mm-hmm. tracks, and then I can just dump on it and send it back. And 9 times out of 10, they're happy with it.
If you're just joining us, we have Christopher Porterfield from Field Report in Studio C here to talk about his new album, Marigolden, which is out in October on Partisan Records, correct?
Correct, October 7th. Pre-order your copy now.
Getting back to the words and the themes on the album, one can't help but think of short story writers like Raymond Carver when listening to the lyrics. And is it an intention of yours as a storyteller to set up the narrative and leave enough ambiguity to let the listener create details of their own?
That's exactly it. Yeah, that's totally it. Yeah, some people are able to write songs for the sake of having songs and because they sound nice and are good and serve some kind of purpose of energy or whatever. I can't do that. I'm not capable of doing that. That's not in my bones. If I don't have something to say, there's no point in me playing anything. That being said, a big part of my process is gathering and finding sort of an emotional core of something and then determining what to leave out, what to include and what to leave out as far as a rhythmic cadence, as far as a narrative triangulation, and also definitely leaving stuff out so people can wear it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
These things are, I think I'm kind of like a fashion designer in a way. And it's not for the masses. It's not a pair of jeans that's going to look good on everybody. But you got to try it on and figure out if it does look good on you. Because the cut's kind of funny. My cut is a little funny.
There's a balance of abstract and specific in your songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Just a look at some of the song titles, though. Home. It's a very universal theme that everyone can, attach many memories to. But everything else in the song is very dark and poetic. And...
Well, it's funny, that tune. So I'm on like this call list for this company that does songs for films and TV and that kind of thing. So if they're in a bind, like they can't clear something, they'll send me an email and be like, "Hey, can you write something like this that kind of talks about this, and can we get it tomorrow?" And so sort of the bones of that song came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like a year ago. And then the client passed on it because they said it was too sad. And that was the last thing I heard about it ever. And then, yeah, I know, like the peppiest upbeat song I've ever written. They're like, it's a little sad. But so then we were in the studio and we were, thinking about songs to record. And some of the guys were like, "Hell, well, what about that one that you did?" I was like, "No, that's just rotting on the junk pile. That's not us." But then I took a look at it and rewrote some of it to make it something that I could feel comfortable living in. And it turned out it felt really good. And it's funny now that is the first single. And I really hope we have the opportunity to pull a Wilco and sell that song back to the people that passed on it.
I'm reminded of a interview I was just listening to with Randy Newman, and someone said, "Well, how did you write 'You've Got a Friend in Me'?" And you just said, "Someone told me to write a song about friendship."
Yeah.
So that can be all it takes. Is
yes.
A little nudge.
Totally. And like when you're doing this particular craft in a world that's greater than just your bedroom, I think it's totally okay and totally valid to play off of outside ideas or like, guidance or whatever. I mean, it's no different than being a designer that also does like newsletter design or whatever. Like there can be a different intention, but that doesn't sap the legitimacy or the truth out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's totally okay.
Well, shall we hear another song?
Sure. This one's called Pale Rider.
There's a pale horse outside my door. In my dream, where my dream horse usually goes. Told me its name, it's the same as yours. I've been so worried about you. 'Cause there's something inside you been clouding your head. like a mother and expecting to be soon again. But the thing inside you is not your kin. It's a ghost you like keep haunting. And I don't know that I can be your place to go or what you need. And I don't know that I can be your place to go or what you need. Now the next thing I know, I'm on your back, with the suitcase full of the wrong things packed. We're out looking for your family, but doubling back to every bar we chose to pass on. Now you're cantering crooked and screaming at the wind. I'm shooting off flare guns in memory of the kid. Birthday was yesterday, you would have been 6. Oh my God, I am so sorry. And I don't know that I can be the place to go or what you need. And I don't know that I can be place to go or what you need. I don't know that I can be. 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 And I don't know that I can be. There's a pale horse outside my door. In my dream, where my dream horse usually goes, told me its name, it's the same as yours.
Pale Rider, live in Studio C. Do you feel any pressure to recreate your recordings in a live setting, or do you see it as two separate ways to channel a song?
They're different. On the first record, I kind of took it upon us as a band to change it up, to make it different, to keep striving for whatever the most honest version of that song is at any given time. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. But with this current lineup, I think we're really going to try to recreate the record and not to sabotage anybody's expectations. Because sometimes I think you can take it too far as like the wanderlust or like, you know, following the muse. But I think the time to do that for the most part is leading up to and in the studio. And for a while, you should probably just try to play the record at first. So that's the plan.
How important is it to be musically diverse? Because after listening to the album a few times, you realize how it's, you know, each track is a hop to almost a different genre. There's a piano ballad that sounds right off After the Gold Rush. there's a song, I think Wings, it's called, that has sort of a Radiohead vibe.
Yeah, there's
even,
some synthy vibes. Yeah, and that wasn't intentional as far as like, ooh, how could we change this up? It was more just like an honest sort of seeking, what is this song calling for? And we're not, I mean, at its core, like what we're doing right now, like a guy and an acoustic guitar, that's like how this stuff is born and can live that way just fine. But I listen to a lot more music than just that. And, you know, and it's fun to synthesize these different influences and elements and things that are emotionally resonant with me sonically or from a lyrical approach or a writing or a structure approach or forms or whatever. It's fun to synthesize all that stuff into whatever it is that this is. But yeah, we definitely, there was a new understanding as far as recording goes of having scenes in songs.
Mm-hmm.
And not just, okay, so this one's in A, so let's have a guitar that goes...
Yeah,
like that throughout the whole thing. You know?
Actually, having the music react to the lyrics.
Totally, yeah, and to not have any kind of loyalty as far as like, well, this guy plays this, so this he'll want to be playing this whole time. The loyalty isn't to anybody's ego. It's to serve the songs, mm-hmm. And I think we did a pretty good job of that on this record, as far as like this in here. It's more like a. It's more like a, it's almost like a film or like, you know, we want this shot or this angle rather than just like a full on wide close thing the whole time. You know, it's like perspective. It's all about perspective.
There's a haunting ambient quality to the whole album.
Oh, cool.
Know,
thank you.
That I took away with. And is that something that you hear in your head when you write the song? I've heard some songwriters say that when a song hits them, they hear it all right there.
I think, you know, it's... I've been having a lot of thoughts about sort of the intentionality of space when you make something, like make a song, like whether we're conscious of it or not, we're putting it in a physical place. Like, you know, some stuff sounds like it should be in a cathedral and some stuff sounds like it should be in a grimy club. And some stuff sounds like it should be on the Serengeti, you know. And I think where this stuff in my head lives is in sort of a quiet but reverberant space, like an opera house or a cathedral or something. And so I think there's a conscious or not thing where we sort of aim to approximate that, to replicate that physical space in the recording.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there's tails of things and reverb trails here and there and things dancing sort of in the ceilings off of the Gothic architecture or whatever. And so, and you go into a place like that and you're suddenly taken to, it's like it takes you to church.
The room is another instrument.
Definitely. And even in the recording, there's the room you're recording in and how that speaks and sings, but also the place that you envision this all happening. Because recording at its core is like a fake performance, kind of. And so it's like this synthesis of you know, suspending your disbelief and being like, oh yeah, okay, I actually am in a place where this is all happening in front of me right now. And what does that place look like? And I think the place that looks like for us has ghosts in it.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to the setting in which your music feels most appropriate, Field Report is not a bar band.
No. Nope. Nobody wins when Field Report plays bars.
And the one line that really stuck with me after listening to the album was 2 weeks dry in a bar every night. And unlike in other professions, musicians are not discouraged to drink
right
before showing up to their job. Has being in that environment reinforced or discouraged sobriety to you?
Oh, man. My relationship with alcohol is a complicated one for sure. And, you know, everybody's got their own journeys. But it got to a point where it was making me into a different person. And it was changing the way that my brain was working, and it was damaging my relationships with people that I loved and with myself and with the world around me. So I had to stop. Having an active relationship with alcohol last fall. And actually this record, you know, it wasn't supposed to be a sobriety record. It wasn't intended to be that. But just some of the material that was coming out of that period made it onto the record. And there are definitely some breadcrumbs that we left behind that you can follow that.
Yeah, there's subtle AA references all throughout the album.
Yeah, yeah. And so, that last song that you were talking about, a song called Summons on there, and that song was written, I was in Durham, I was in North Carolina, working on a show, the Nick Sanborn thing, the Lend Me Your Voice show that Al Verno and Duke co-presented, but I was down there, and I was literally like 2 weeks into being sober, and I was losing my mind, and I didn't know how to do it, But I was around people who got it and saw the bigger picture better than I did and were super supportive, and it was incredible. Mm-hmm. But that tune came directly out of... There's a lot of characters on this record, but that one is...
Yourself.
That's all me, yeah.
Do you think you could play that one?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Over the water, outside of Mobile, allowing the sunset to take her time. And I've been putting off the knowing in a pink and orange haze while the oil rigs are feeding me lines. And the pines straight and tall fly past looking out. 100-mile barcode or prison bars. And I've been whispering the Lord's Prayer over every bridge I go across. Try to summon up the strength not to swerve into the cars. But I'll be coming home. Drunk hotel halogen bathroom mirror. Gonna conjure up the courage to call up a ghost. And I've been picking at the cancer. Gonna smear it on my chest over my heart like a salve where it burns us the most. I'll be coming home. I'll be coming home to you. Did he fall in love again while I've been away? 'Cause in my dreams I'm in another man's clothes. I got all these friends in Durham and I never know their names, but if I got to, I could probably make it home. I've been 2 weeks dry, in a bar every night. I've been pissing coffee, quinine and lime. But the fog's been lifting and I'm doing all right. But I still can't look nobody in the eye. But I'll be coming home to you. I'll be coming home. Thank you.
Christopher Porterfield of Field Report, live on WUWM at night. He'll be celebrating the release of his new album at the Pabst Theater Wednesday, October 22nd. What else is coming up for you guys?
Well, yeah, it's just all the stuff that goes with getting a record out into the world. We've got some video stuff that I was just working on today, signing off on, some doing fun stuff like this, talking to people about the record and just getting the word out. And we'll be hitting the road starting the beginning of September, doing some stuff, starting in New York and working our way through the East Coast and then back to the Midwest. And we're really, really, really excited to get to play at the Pabst for this hometown show. It's going to be really, really special, and I hope that everybody listening can be a part of that with us.
Well, thanks for talking, Christopher, and safe travels to you and the guys.
Chap, it's been a pleasure, brother. It's good to see you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.